Hey, everybody, it's Curtis from the podcast, letting you know that we're brought to you by TeePublic. What's TeePublic, you may ask? Great question. They offer nerdy apparel for all of your needs and tastes. You want to wear a Friday the 13th shirt? Rock on. You want to wear an office t-shirt? Why not? What you do is you're going to go find what you want, add it to your cart. Don't just go checking out without saving a little bit of money now. Go enter 3angrynerds as your coupon code, and you're going to save a little bit of money off your order there. You save money, and you get to be stylish. Win-win. Thanks for your time, guys. On with the show. In a world of lame, nerdy podcasts, one, no three, and maybe sometimes more nerds will rise to the challenge. We hold the studios accountable. We celebrate the amazing feats of cinema. We sometimes rage out. We are the Three Angry Nerds Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Three Angry Nerds Podcast. And I'm exceptionally angry this morning because fucking Discord being a piece of shit. With me, as always, Eatin' Toast Ethan. How's it going, Ethan?
Oh, it's good. It's a lovely Sunday morning, and I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a long weekend too, right? Because you guys get President's Day off.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yes, we do. Thankfully, we decided to get rid of our queen, and we have a day off because of it.
All saluting to my president, also known as Trump. Also with us, as always, is Nicole, also known as Nick Apocalypse. How's it going, Nicole?
Good. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yay!
She's back.
She's back from
I don't know what happened. I wasn't muted. Something. Okay. Hi. I'm here.
This is
my
We're you know, love when Nicole and I record a rock rap album. That'll be the title of it. We're back. That'll be the title of it. No. Yeah.
I can't wait to rap. That's going to be a good time.
That, you know what? That would be great, like, one day to just put out, like, a rap rock track on the podcast. Like,
oh, feed. My God.
It just rap, people rock. Just be like...
Early 2000s. No.
No, we can't do the rap that I want to do. I want to do, like, NWA style. That wouldn't fly.
Not today.
Not today, Junior. Rounding out the cast is the amazing Lee. How's it going, Lee?
I'm here as well. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I was not here last week, and I was sad.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple emails being like, where the fuck was Lee there? And I was just like, Aww. Sorry. Lee's got a life to live, guys.
Well, I was trying to go deep undercover to find out, you know, what's the next in the MCU, but ultimately I failed.
You're talking to, like, a security guard outside Disney. They're like, sir, we can't talk to you. Like, we can't tell you shit.
He's like, sir, this is an Arby's. I was like, fuck.
Can someone get this homeless guy out of here?
He keeps rambling about on what, a phase 5? Do you know what this is? It's probably an act of terrorism. We should take him out.
It's probably a drug. Have you taken any act 5 lately?
So I spent the last week in Gitmo because of that.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, there's sometimes, like, I'll be out with, like, Lucas or, like, friend of the podcast, Dan Nicholson, and we'll be talking about something that, like... Phase 5 or Marvel or whatever, and I'm pretty sure people hearing us just think we're fucking crazy. It's like, I'm sure the Captain Marvel and the Lunar Eclipse will Phase 5 and all this, and people are just like, what the fuck is people talking about? Anyways.
Just slowly edging away from you.
Yeah. Like, sir, I just want to know light things about the Marvel Universe, not the hardcore stuff, thank you. Anyways. let's just jump into the news here. Miss Marvel casting call hints towards Inhumans being reintroduced into the MCU. As you may recall, Marvel spectacularly failed to introduce those characters via a TV series that also aired some episodes in IMAX, and it was just not good. So here we go. Chance number 2. Don't fail, Marvel. Yeah. Any thoughts on this? You're just like, eh.
I mean, okay, sure, if you want to take another swing at it.
I think it makes sense because I think Ms. Marvel's powers are tied to the Inhumans to some degree, so I think this makes a whole lot of sense, but I don't know how deep dive they want to get into it, if they want to, like, get back into making an Inhumans movie or something like that, but anyways. I could care less, because I don't really care about the Inhumans. They're just lesser X-Men to me, honestly. And then so I'm just like, I could care less. I mean, I've never really, like, watched anything Inhumans or read anything that made me think, oh, this is interesting. It's just,
oh, there's a bunch of people with powers and they're in a hidden society, but they try to help humanity when best they can. I'm like, so they're the X-Men. Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, there's cool stuff with Inhumans on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I don't think that gets enough credit, but that other show, Inhumans, surely soured the name of Inhumans everywhere.
And you may think it's not as bad as they're talking about. I think it's on Disney Plus. You can watch it, but it's not good. It's actually quite terrible. So
yeah, it's on my. I'm about to watch it soon, actually, for a whole Marvel rewatch. So I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh man,
it's real rough around the edges. Okay, classify this next bit of news into the what the fuck column, but the Aladdin sequel is in the works at Disney with Straight Outta Compton and flight writers attached. Guy Ritchie, Will Smith, Mena Massoud, and Naomi Scott are expected to return. So basically we're getting the direct-to-VHS Disney sequels, right? Like, this is what's going to happen now?
Yeah. This one's going to be Return of Jafar, and then they'll get... was that Prince of Thieves, King of Thieves, whatever that was?
Lion King 1.5, whatever kind of shit they come up with. I'm just saying
that this is supposed to be an original story and not based on any sequel or anything already done.
We're joking, but yeah, like they are saying that this is an original story, but yeah. Although I gotta say, you got the writer of Straight Outta Compton writing this. If the sequel is not titled Aladdin 2 Straight Out of Agrabah, you just get the fuck out of here.
It's right there for you.
I want that with like the genie in like gangster pose on the poster. Like, just give me that. I'll give it a 5 out of 5 just for that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, did you guys see that new Aladdin movie?
I refused. It's something I never thought I would ever get around to watching, but my parents one day threw it on and I just plopped myself down and, you know, it was okay. It was fine.
I always thought it was weird that Jasmine gets into this top 20 like track in the middle of that movie and it makes no fucking sense. Like, compared to the rest of the songs in the movie, it just like comes out of the blue and it's like, okay, what? Like, where are we getting a Rihanna song in the middle of Aladdin? But weird. I'm honestly not that excited for this. I could care less. Especially because it seems like they have a lot of the same talent coming back. So to me, that says they're going to repeat a lot of the same mistakes as they did with the first film. So,
honestly, if they just made it like a little bit more, I don't know, like compelling. I didn't really care for anything that was happening.
No. And I know that Mena Massoud guy got a lot of flack because, like, he's tried to, like, get jobs after this movie and he hasn't been able to get any. But I'm like, honestly, he wasn't that great in it. Like, I mean, I know it's real shitty because this guy already gets shit on a ton. But I'm just going to take that light little dump on top of him a little bit more and just say, yeah, he wasn't that great.
He was fine. I'm pretty sure he was singing, too, and he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You think he was singing? I don't think he was singing. I don't think that dude knew how to sing. I think that was all dubbed in, because that definitely sounded like a little bit too much like the 90s cartoon, and not like the dude we were seeing on screen. But I don't know. Gotcha. I could be wrong too. But anyways, look forward to Aladdin 2 Straight Out of Agrabah coming. I don't know, 2023. All right. Loki adds Beauty and the Beast actress Gugu Mbatha-Ra, nailed that, in a prominent lead role.
I was ready for you to absolutely butcher that.
And you only slightly did.
You know, my whiteness only partially showed in that case, so I'm pretty happy about that. Cool. Maybe romantic interest for Loki? Maybe? Who knows?
I mean, she's a good actress. I know that.
Wasn't she in that Cloverfield Paradox movie?
That's not what I was thinking of immediately. I was thinking about Black Mirror, but you're correct.
Man, I was so excited for Cloverfield Paradox because they were like, it's out today. And I'm like, oh, that's really kind of cool. Like, when do you get a movie coming out the same day as it's announced? And then you're like, oh, that's why it's a piece of shit. But it wasn't working. Okay, that's kind of cool. I don't know who she could be playing. Although I saw online a lot of people mentioned Enchantress, so I guess that's a good possibility too, because that is a character that a lot of people wanted to see in the MCU. So I'm gonna be okay with that.
If I recall correctly, I think there is an Enchantress in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. already. I don't remember. There's
a lot of bullshit in that show. It was her sister that showed up, but I think she referred to her.
You're totally right.
Yeah, I have watched some of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just forget most of it because...
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't blame you.
But yeah, I do remember there was a character that showed up and... Yeah, she was in Enchantress's sister. And I think maybe they were setting her up for the MCU or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that never came to be. But yeah, I'd be okay with this. I mean, yeah, she's a good actress, so she brings a lot of talent to whatever role she ends up bringing. So, all right, next bit of news, file this under the rumor category, but Agents of Atlas project is rumored to be in development at Marvel as a Shang-Chi follow-up. So Agents of Atlas is a Asian-American focused team. So, you know, Shang-Chi, and people are like, yeah, that makes sense. I don't think this rumor is true, though. I think there's a lot of... Take this with a heavy one-cup portion of salt, because there's a lot of Because I think in the rumor, too, they were mentioning, oh, it could be a movie, or it could be a Disney Plus series. And I'm like, seems like you're kind of covering all your bases with this rumor, so...
Yeah, I'm just saying anything and everything to get some credit.
There may be some Asians in it. There might not be any Asians in it. Like,
you'll have to go see our movie to find out.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I always love when these people try to come up with rumors and then it seems so obvious that they're just full of shit when they're like, well, take those with a grain of salt because I don't know if this actually might happen. It's like, well, then why are you telling me this? Like, tell me you don't know what's going to happen. So, but anyways, yeah, I don't really think this is true, but I guess it's Marvel. Anything's possible. So, yeah, there's probably, like, a part of this that maybe could be potentially true. I have my doubts.
Since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going on its last season, I could see Marvel needing another show to kind of do some interconnectivity besides the larger Disney Plus series. So,
yeah,
maybe they're going to go that direction.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I guess it also depends on what other characters they add, because, I mean, is there a lot of other Asian-American characters in the MCU thus far? Like, not overly. So, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of question marks here. I don't really believe it, but I saw this trending a lot. It picked up a lot of traction online, but I just don't think there's a lot of truth to it, so... Marvel Studios is reportedly meeting with more actresses for the Kate Bishop role. This has put the Hawkeye show on ice for now because they just started doing the show and then they can't find an actress for one of the lead roles. So it's like, well, it's going to delay your show. So hopefully they find someone soon. I think we've talked before about some good choices for the role. So, hey, you know what, Kevin Feige, go listen to that episode and just pull all of our picks and bring them in. Why not? Disney Plus solo follow-up to reportedly feature Don Glover's Lando Calrissian. So, as you may recall, there was a rumor a few months back that there was a Disney Plus series in the works that would reportedly follow up on the Solo, a Star Wars Story movie. You know, that famous Star Wars movie that everybody loved and nobody hated at all.
Mm-hmm. I'm seething with anger right now.
I mean, that movie did leave a lot of openness in terms of what would come next, so I've seen some people think maybe the Obi-Wan series might pick up on some of those plot threads, and some people saying that, you know, this might. I'm like, I don't know. Do you think anyone who actually would want to see Donald Glover as Lando again, or are you kind of just like, yeah?
Lee, go for it.
I was going to say, he was the best part of that movie, so maybe, yeah. But I mean, what do you do with him, though? I mean...
I guess
I don't know. He
show how he got Bespin, I guess. Because like, what other plot point do you have to cover with him? You know,
that's what I mean. It's stuff that you don't need to see. Like, I don't need to see him doing these things. I mean, you can see what he's up to maybe after, like, the Death Star explodes or whatever. Like, what gets him to Burning Man? I mean, I could make a movie out of that, but I mean, I don't know. Like, it's like, come on, Disney, come up with something new.
Okay, I'll give you something new, Lee. I got a great new idea. This is how it's going to go down, okay?
Oh, so no.
Donald Glover Lando is going to figure out time travel, and he's going to time travel, and he's going to meet old Lando, and it's going to be like a buddy cop comedy, but with the two Landos, and the title of the show will be called My Two Landos.
Oh, I was hoping it was two Landos and a baby, but...
It'll be Baby Yoda.
Bad Landos for life.
Just one more time, bro. It's like, I just met you. For sure.
Like, oh, a family.
The opening scene of the movie better just be like Lando in a robo brothel with like a bunch of like robo prostitutes. And he's just like, this gets me.
Oh, no.
That was the weirdest thing about that movie. Why do you have to add a sexuality for robots? That just seems completely unnecessary.
That seems like really sharp.
I was okay with the robot, him fucking the robot. I was less okay with when he's like, hey, can I get you anything? And the robot's like, equal rights. And I'm like, ah, no.
Sorry, that we want equal rights, Lee.
Robo rights for all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm just a massage robot initiative. I don't know what the hell that would be. I'm against robots. I can't even talk. I'm so angry right now.
This is why Lee has an Alexa, right, just so he can have a robo slave around.
Yes. Like, Alexa, remember that you're in slavery.
I will do that, Lee, but begrudgingly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have one of the upstairs robots and the downstairs robots?
I do not. I'm not that rich. Jeez.
Maybe you can Venmo us some money so we can get Lee a second robo-slave.
Yeah. Donate to our Patreon for our robot slaves.
That'd be a great idea for a podcast. Just get like 50 Alexas and just record it, like asking them questions and watch them like implode on each other. I'm sure nobody's done that. All right. Well, that's a Disney Plus series. And another Disney Plus series is Disney's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot, which is bringing back Rick Moranis, but in the most depressing real world way possible. And it's really kind of depressing. Do you hear about the context of them bringing him back?
What they do, like get the remains of his wife and tell him they're not going to give him back?
That's Disney. You know, that's what they'll do.
You know what? Not that far off. So if you've watched the original Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like Rick Moranis was in a family, he had a wife. Well, in this reboot, his kid's going to be played by Josh Gad. But the thing that's going to be the real kicker is that his wife died from cancer and he tried to shrink her cancer, but it didn't work. So now he's like a recluse. And I'm like, that seems really just too real world. So, for me.
It's dark.
Like, it's like reverse method acting.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems really like, huh? You think if you're coming back, you would find something that's a little less applicable to real life, but hey, you know what? You do you, honey. I shrunk the kids.
Diving in head first.
Do you think anyone's actually gonna know who Rick Moranis is, though? I mean, like, us 90 kids will know, but like, I think most people are just gonna say, like, who's this guy?
Maybe if they've seen Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's probably the gateway to the Moranis list.
Or, Spaceballs.
Yeah, Spaceballs.
Yeah. I want to know how many, like 2000s kids know Spaceballs, because if there's any, I would be very impressed.
That is true.
I'd be like, do you guys watch Spaceballs? And they'll be like, hey, man, you know TikTok? And I'll be like, fuck off. I don't want to talk to you right now.
Is that a
you like the Kesha song?
I went to a movie the other day and like these kids were fucking TikToking in the movie theater and I just never felt older in my entire life and I just wanted to fucking just die in a chair. It's just so bad. All right. Sony Pictures dates another mystery Marvel movie for 2021. We don't know what this is, but.
Spider-Man.
They can't keep getting away with this.
He's a menace.
Just watch it. It's like an offshoot for like the worst character possible, because it's the Sony cinematic universe. They aren't making the best decisions over there. So I don't know. Maybe it's a Doc Ock solo movie or something, or I don't know.
It can be literally anything that they're trying to squeeze money out of.
It better be Paul Giamatti's Rhino.
Oh yes, please give me that. There was one guy that was on Reddit. He was saying like, "This is it. This is gonna be the live action Spider-Verse film I've been waiting for." And I'm like, "What the fuck, man? Like, no, it's probably not, but maybe. I don't know." I think there was mention of a writer being brought on for a Kraven the Hunter movie. So
that's getting traction little by little. So it's more like a reality.
Like, the thing is, I get that people want a live-action Spider-Verse film, but there's been no writer brought on to do that, so I'm going with the one that's got the farthest progress, and that's probably the Kraven the Hunter film. Plus, there's those rumors that Kraven's being introduced in the third Spider-Man movie, so I guess I don't know where this falls in terms of being after or before that, but you could definitely do some work to flesh out or set up Rhino, and or not Rhino. Although I would love if Paul Giamatti's Rhino showed up. He's like, "I'll kill you, Spider-Man." All right, well, I can't do that terrible accent. That movie was just fucking awful. Like, everyone needs to forget that movie. I guess the seagulls agree.
The gulls
on those guys.
They have spoken.
Yeah.
Let me mute.
So, you know, any other thoughts on what it could be? Aside from Kraven?
Madam Web. I don't know.
I guess that one's also been coming along, too. They mentioned that. I don't know if there's a
writer. For some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they would do with Madam Web. I guess maybe if you wanted to, like, set up Spider-Man and Venom or something like that, you could use Madam Web as sort of like a way of explaining interdimensional travel, because I think that was her whole spiel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then again, like, that's what the Morbius movie should be doing.
Yeah. Right? Like, I guess, like, the Morbius movie could do it, and it would still kind of, like, be like, well, how the hell does this character show up in this? And then maybe she shows up at the end and she's like, "I'm Madam Web." Or I don't know, that character's so forgettable. Like, the only thing I've ever seen her in was that Spidey cartoon in the 90s, and that was, I don't know. That show was good, but I don't know if anyone's going to that being like, let's make a live-action version of that character, but. Alright, maybe tangentially associated with this, but maybe not. Sony. Tony the Tiger is rumored to be developing a Spider-Man movie. Because,
Wow.
He makes surreal and he makes movies. Sony rumored to be developing a Spider-Woman movie. There was something about the rights on that. I think, like, they were saying Marvel could use her but couldn't refer to her as Spider-Woman. And Sony could use her but not, like, refer to her past or anything like that. So it's kind of like, I don't know what they want to do with a movie like that. Like, change your backstory, I guess, or do something like that. But is anyone craving a Spider-Woman movie, you think?
I mean, I'm craving another Sony spider picture just as much as the next person. But I don't know if they have her eat lobsters or something like Venom, then sure, why not?
That better be like they're like, you know, like their shawarma scene is just them all eating lobsters. Okay. Bit of some weird news this week, but Warner Brothers is renaming Birds of Prey to Harley Quinn Birds of Prey in a bid to spark the box office, which is failing miserably. I think they were saying that people just couldn't find it on ticketing sites because they were looking up Harley Quinn and not Birds of Prey, so they changed it.
I'm looking at AMC right now, and it says Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't think it was. I thought it was just a mistake or something, but no, it's there. It is.
Yeah. It's real.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny because when you watch the movie, it really is, like, that's probably the better title for it, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, because it's Harley Quinn first, Birds of Prey second in that movie, so that makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah, I noticed that on Cineplex here in Canada, they changed it to that, so. Cool. And then finally, The Hunt is back after Trump lambasted that movie on Twitter and they pulled it off its schedule and all that stuff. It's finally back with a release date of March 13th, 2020, so almost exactly a month from now. The new tagline is, it's the most talked about movie of the year that no one's actually seen, which I think is kind of clever.
That doesn't make sense.
Because it's got controversy, Lee.
Get it? I mean, how can it be talked about? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's... well, you'll get your chance to see it March 13th, for better or for worse. Might be good, might be bad. I'm just expecting that even with all this controversy, it's probably not going to be that great. So,
yeah, it's nice that they can use this marketing to their advantage, because I'm sure they're going to need every bit of it.
Yeah, it's a Blumhouse movie. Like, they don't always do well. I am expecting Invisible Man to do well, because that's got a good pedigree behind it with Lee Winnell. But, like, Fantasy Island is just bombing at the box office, so... It's, yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and review some movies.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's Curtis from the podcast, letting you know that we're brought to you by Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime's got amazing content, such as The Boys, The Expanse, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Goliath, and so much more. Don't have to take our word for it. Go try out a 30-day trial of the service. See if you like it. If you want to stick around, they've got low introductory rates for new users who sign up, and you're going to get a ton of other Amazon Prime benefits. So sign up today and check it out. Thank you for your time.
All right, we're back. Over the break, Nicole and I decided to start a cult. So if we're not back next week, just FYI, you now know.
You're all welcome to join. Be well.
Yeah.
One of us.
You know what's so funny? I actually am drinking not Kool-Aid, but like a nice rosé cranberry juice.
Oh, jeez.
Getting my Jonestown vibes on.
There you go. I was drinking yesterday a cider that had ginger in it, and it had a bit of a kick to it, and it was so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's poison our people with that.
Okay. Just make a... You know what? If I were in a cult and I had to poison people, I would make, like... What's that thing where you just, like, tell people to bring, like, booze and whatever chaser, and then you just dump it all in a big, giant, like, bucket?
BYOB?
No. It's, like, jungle juice. That's what it's called. Yeah. I would just make, a thing of jungle juice, and then you just be like, hey, everybody, there's just whatever is in here. And then when people get sick, I would just be like, well, I told you, like, there's just a ton of shit in there, you know?
Or as one of the drinks mentioned in After Midnight, the gorilla fart.
Right.
That's a nice segue into the first review this week, After Midnight. So, Ethan, you saw it.
Yep.
Who else saw it?
I saw it.
Nice. Lee?
I did not.
Oh, good, because you would have hated this movie, I'm pretty sure. Nothing against you. I just was watching this, and I was thinking, I wonder if Lee's going to watch this, because I bet you he's going to fucking hate this movie. I mean, I kind of did, but, yeah. What did... Oh, actually, it's worth noting, Beck was supposed to be on, but now she's sick. And she gave it a 4 out of 5. She enjoyed it.
So. Yeah, I liked it fine. First, since I watched The Invitation, I've been desperately wanting a movie that had that kind of vibe again. And I feel like this one did. Completely different storylines, but
mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was different. There's a couple times where I'm watching a really extended dialogue and just waiting for something to bite one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and they're having their little heart-to-heart about Miami versus that other part of Florida that they're in.
Oh, you mean that fucking, like, eight-hour scene that just went on forever of them talking in the same shot? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a real talk, like any other relationship.
I quite like that.
Oh, because you're from Florida.
I mean, listen, I'm not in... There is no Barlow, Florida. There's Bartow, Florida. and it is, in fact, 4 hours away from Miami. So they did their research.
I looked it up. This movie does have the greatest Lisa Loeb karaoke scene of any movie I've ever seen. I will give it that.
Yeah, that's true. That was good.
And just how that scene kind of goes off the rails with, like, the monster attacking him, and you're like, what the fuck?
That's what I was waiting for.
That was the most expected thing to happen, but it still was satisfying.
And I gotta give him credit, because, I mean, this is essentially a rom-com with a monster in it, and...
I love that.
I don't know if there's many movies that have done that. Probably not, but... I mean, there were some interesting ideas. I guess for me, it never came together. Like, you know, there were some cool things here, but, like, they never sort of gelled together in a way that would have just made it a real slam dunk for me. It kind of just seemed like certain things were in there just for the sake of maybe being a cool idea, and that's about it. But I did like the monster's design. I thought that was pretty cool.
I liked that they never really explained what that little homeboy monster was doing, or where he came from. He was just like, this is a normal couple in, you know, swamp country or wherever, 4 hours away from Miami. And everybody doubts them. Like that one cop that says, everyone's seen a UFO or every river has a monster. Yeah. And everybody just doubts them. And then all of a sudden, rawr!
Yeah.
Get them.
Well then.
And how he's fucking fighting that monster too was just fantastic.
Oh,
too,
my God.
It was just like with the antlers and everything, it just goes on forever.
That was pretty hot.
And then he's looking at Bea Grant or whatever her name is, and he's just like, yep, fuck, kill the monster. And
will
like,
you marry me?
Which is the only romantic way you can propose with somebody is after you can slay a monster with antlers. Yeah. Any other thoughts on After Midnight? Anything that stuck out with you either way?
Good soundtrack.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I did really enjoy all the like down to earth dialogue scenes. It felt very much like a play or something that would fit really well on the stage, I thought, since most times it is very low key and a lot of dialogue, and that helped me like the characters a little bit more. I thought the main dynamic between the the guy and gal was fairly interesting to watch. I don't know if they like gelled together, like I don't know if the chemistry was all there. I think when they were like exuberantly happy in their relationship, I don't know, I didn't buy it for some reason, but yeah. I did buy it a lot more when she was at least dissatisfied with him, and that's why I really enjoyed that porch scene. So I think that was probably the standout scene for me, just a scene of them talking. But things that didn't gel as well was just trying to balance the monster and human relationship.
Yeah. I did like that this movie had a very, like, Americana kind of aesthetic to it. Like, not like country per se, but like, I don't know,
it's more bluegrass.
That was kind of like a cool kind of aesthetic. It was it didn't really factor into the movie overly much, I guess. Like, I was kind of wondering, like, what's this building up to, like, what's the purpose of this, and nothing really came, but I still thought it was at least very interesting, I guess. But you ready to give this a score?
I'll agree with Beck. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Nice.
What do I do? I thought it was a pretty, you know, slow burn character study, little monster flick with little romance, with a lot of romance in there. And I liked it a little more than I thought I was going to. So I'd give it at least a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a 6 out of 10. I mean, cool ideas. I don't think it necessarily gelled as well as it could have. But I don't know. I still applaud them for doing something different. I mean, people always complain, oh, I go see the same old movie time in and time out. It's like, well,
yeah.
After Midnight's not that. It's not the same movie you've seen. And it is different. I think it deserves some points for that alone. But I just think, yeah, execution-wise, it could have been done a little bit better. But yeah. Still maybe worth a watch. If anything, just for a weird rom-com monster movie. Cool. Fantasy Island. Let's talk about that piece of shit.
Nice.
Oh, the plane. The plane.
So it's worth noting. This is based on a show that was not a horror-based show. Like it was more of like a fantasy drama. Nothing really to anything to do with horror, but somehow the people at Blumhouse saw Fantasy Island and thought, let's make this into a horror movie. And the thing is, they kind of made it into that trashy fast food cinema that I kind of love. And I was like, kind of digging it for the first two acts because it's pretty much a generic kind of slasher movie in a lot of ways. Like there's very much a formula to it, but if you're kind of used to these movies, there's some element of fun. And at no point was I ever thinking, I need an explanation for what's going on here on this island. I thought, like, it's fine, because it's basically sort of, like, the whole premise is that people can make a wish, and that wish comes true, but it's very much kind of like Monkey's Paw, where it's like, well, at what cost does your wish come to be? And I like that, but by the time they get to the third act, they're trying to explain it, and I'm not going to spoil this. I mean, you could probably just go look it up on Wikipedia if you really wanted to, but it isn't satisfying of a explanation for why it's all happening. And frankly, I didn't need it. I didn't need any explanation for why it was this way. I was just enjoying it in midst of all of it happening. So, I don't know. I'd give this a 3 out of 5. It's more than passable, but that ending just, damn it. It just didn't do anything for me, so. Next up is Downhill. Downhill is a remake of a Swedish film. This new one stars Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You probably know from Seinfeld. And apparently Veep. I don't know. Everyone, when I was at the screening, was like, Veep, Veep, Veep. And I'm like, I've never seen Veep, but apparently it's good. This is a solid dramedy. It has some good lead performances. The problem is, though, is that this is supposed to be, a dramedy, so there is some dramatic elements to it. And it felt weird because when there was these dramatic moments, people were laughing at it, and I couldn't, like, make sense of that, because I'm like, this is a dramatic scene. Like, Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus are just going at each other, and people were like, ha-ha, and I'm like, what? Like, what? What about this is funny? So I think there's just some weird tonal shifts that just don't quite work. And I think when you have a movie like this, it's really hard to sort of establish, like, this is a point when you should be laughing, and this is a point when you should be, you know, crying or, you know, feeling the drama. But I just don't think it really quite worked. So I'd give it, like, a 7 out of 10. And then finally, Sonic the Hedgehog, also known as the greatest movie of 2020 so far. I think it actually might be my highest scoring film of the year so far.
Damn.
Let me double check.
Wait, even more than The Color of whatever?
Color Out of Space?
Yeah.
Good question. I think it actually might be tied.
Damn.
Why did I give Color Out of Space? Now I'm looking this up. Let's see. I mean, really, there's not much coming out this year so far. So, you know, if it is, it's not overly actually, I did give it a higher score because I gave Color Out of Space 8 out of 10, and I'm going to just spoil my Sonic review, but I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10.
Jesus.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Sonic. So, this is basically a road trip movie with Sonic and James Marsden's character. And it actually was surprisingly a whole lot of fun. Like, there's a lot of drama in terms of... Sorry. Putting that in there. There's certainly, like, a good amount of respect for the source material of Sonic. So if you've ever played a Sonic the Hedgehog video game, like, you'll pick up on a lot of the references. But at the same time, too, it still works as its own movie. when we were watching in particular, like, there was, like, I watched it with Lucas, who is the world's biggest Sonic the Hedgehog fan. Like, he came actually dressed in an outfit and everything, and he gave it a perfect 10 out of 10. But I don't know. I mean, he's also someone who just loves Sonic unabashedly. So, but I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I think what really works, too, is the comedy. Jim Carrey plays Robotnik in this, and he steals the show. Like, there's so many lines where he just is, you could tell, like, they just kind of told him, like, just ad-lib, like, just say what you want or keep it general, or they were giving him, like, generic instructions. But he actually does such a great job of, like, just throwing in these jokes that are kind of, like, in some ways they don't work. Like, you almost don't expect them in this kind of movie, but they kind of do at the same time, because it's like, oh, that actually is pretty funny. Ben Schwartz does a really great job of playing Sonic. And then there's also just overall, like, a lot of great action. And the end post-credit scene to the movie is just fantastic. There's two of them, and they definitely set up a sequel. And I'd be excited to see where they take it. So, yeah, I'm giving this a 9 out of 10. And,
wow.
Yeah, go watch Sonic. It's a good family movie, even if you don't have a family. I'm sure it's still entertaining, but... cool. And Nicole, you saw the prequel to the new Indiana Jones movie. So
Han Solo and his doggo.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford and a CGI dog named Buck. I was honestly kind of dreading going to this. I did ride solo, which is funny because Han Solo's in it. Well, it's funny to me anyway. It was actually a pretty good time. I was not feeling my best either, so I went to sit in the very, like, third row, which was probably not the best choice for a movie that is so full of CGI and action. Mm-hmm. And then all these children started surrounding me, and it was really kind of nostalgic and cute, even though I don't really like kids. These ones were rad. I was gonna
say, it sounds more creepy than anything else.
Well, I guess they got their free passes or something, and we're talking like the ages of 5 to maybe 9. Uh-huh. So they're all sitting behind me, and they kept kicking my seat, and I didn't really care because it was kind of cute just to listen to them experience this movie the way I would experience, like, Bound when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cute. It was a lot of fun. The movie was actually pretty funny. I got past the CGI thing pretty quickly because you don't see a real dog once.
I was going to say, like, that was one thing that bothered me in the trailers was the CGI dog, like, but you didn't get bothered by it after a while, you're saying?
You just get, like, Stockholm Syndrome and you just get into it. Like, okay. That's why I was dreading it, the original trailer. It was like, God, this is going to be so bad. And we all know that Harrison Ford is just grumpy and wants to give up, but they won't let him.
He wants to die, but they won't let him die.
He keeps crashing all of his helicopters.
He's like, let me die.
He hears that Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash. He's like, you fucking bastard.
But he was actually quite charming in this. I guess he's acting by himself because he's the entire time not looking at a real dog, but you get the vibe that he is. So whatever was there beside him, I don't know if it was like a stump, but he like really connected with whatever it was. It was pretty cute. Nothing too crazy, nothing too traumatizing that I was expecting. Mm. There's like a bear, but the bear's just like, don't swim here. And the dog's like, okay, I'll go around.
That's the greatest way to combat a bully ever. Just go around. Okay.
Yeah. And then eventually the dog's like, listen, bear, I'm not going to take this anymore. And just like stares him down and the bear runs away. It's like giant grizzly bear that just does not like eye contact, I guess.
It makes like zero sense. Like, I don't know why a grizzly bear would just be like, oh, you stared at me. Oh, I'm going to leave. Like, no, it could just fucking maul the dog to death.
Yeah, totally. You get your person falling through the ice. You get your avalanche. You get your bad guy with a mustache.
Mm.
But nothing overly traumatizing for kids. I think it was pretty fun. I was surprised that I actually enjoyed it.
You can put that on the in your commercials there, Disney. Surprisingly fun.
It was surprisingly fun.
I didn't hate kids as much after this.
Yeah. Harrison Ford actually showed up.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because, you know, obviously Harrison Ford's going to be starting to film his Indiana Jones movie soon. Like, but did watching this get you excited for a new Indiana Jones, or were you just like, oh, gosh?
Yeah, I'm just, like, excited to see him, you know, participate again. Like, he had his go-go juice for this film. He was into it, and that's promising for future projects.
He probably had his goop candle lit that date. So.
Oh, my God.
So what would you...
Longest running joke of all time.
At this point, like, we should start getting royalties from Goop for all the mentions we have of it, really. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, no one's promoted that V like us.
No, no. So what would you give Call of the Wild a score of?
Well, I haven't read the great Canadian novel, so I can't be too accurate about this. I'd give it like a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Just because it was surprisingly fun. Harrison Ford smiled.
Wait, what? I don't even believe this.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, maybe like that side smile that he does.
Do you think they had to like CGI the smile on him? Like, okay, Harrison, like smile. He's like, no. And they're like, okay, fine. We can just digitally alter it later.
Like Henry Cavill's mustache?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he was so happy, is because he got to act alone. He had no other... no one else around him.
Well,
except a CGI dog. So he's like, this is amazing. Why can't every movie just be me?
I've noticed with Harrison Ford that he seems to like movies where there's no sequels. So I'm guessing they were probably like, yeah, we're not going to make a sequel. He's like, great.
Then I'll give it my all.
Yeah.
I just imagine that he was actually dead and there's Weekend at Burnings in him.
Yeah, we'll get to that point. But like, yeah, we're going to make a sequel to Solo, a Star Wars story, but this time it's just going to be a young CGI Harrison Ford. Okay, well, that was it for reviews. Classic week as always. Let's take a quick break and then we'll answer.
Hey everybody, Curtis from the Three Angry Nerds podcast, letting you know that we're brought to you by ShakerAndSpoon.com. ShakerAndSpoon.com provides you with quality craft cocktail ingredients so that you can make amazing cocktails at home. What you got to do is provide your own booze and follow the ingredient list that they provide you with. And guess what? You're going to be making amazing craft cocktails at home. Don't have to take our word for it. Try your first order for free using Three Angry Nerds at checkout, and they'll provide you your first order for free. After that, you'll be hooked and you'll want to try more. Tell them that Three Angry Nerds sent you. Thanks for your time and on with the show.
All right, we're back. Let's answer an email. Well, only one email this week, but I think it's probably one of the greatest emails we've gotten in a long time. Remember, you can email us at mailbag@threeangrynerds.com like Alex did. Alex says, nerds, every week I play podcasts through my speakers on my computer while I work on homework. My mom came in to talk to me about something, and she heard Lucas shout, "You fucking fucker," and she both grounded me and forced me to unsubscribe to the podcast. Luckily, my mom isn't smart with computers, and I subscribed on my phone. Has me wondering, what was the worst thing you ever did as a teen, and what was the worst punishment, Alex?
Oof. Damn. Well, man, that fucking sucks.
Well, I'm glad that you got around it and that your mom's tech illiterate, you know, worked out in our favor, I guess. What was the worst
thing? It's a good thing she's a boomer.
Yeah.
Okay, boomer. The worst thing I did was start a fire. I think. Yeah.
Oh, you did fire stuff?
Damn.
Well, okay, so what happened was, you know, me and my buddy Tim, when we were teenagers, we had roaming candles and we were just lighting them off. And he's like, "Here, Kurt, your turn, light one off." I was like, okay. So went pew, flies across the street and lands in this bush, and the bush caught fire. And then, like, it was one of those, like, things where, like, they had, like hedges around their entire house. It's almost like a fence kind of, and it just lit on fire. And we were like, shit, call the fire people, the firefighters or whatever. And so they came and they put it out, and they were like, wonder what happened. And then everyone was like, oh, it's fucking Brad smoking over there with cigarettes, probably just threw it in the bush, didn't pay attention. We're like, yeah, Brad. Yeah, fucking Brad. Stop smoking. So yeah, but the worst punishment, not related to that, because I never got punished for that, but this was actually like, I wasn't a teen. I was younger. I was like 11 or 12, but it was like my birthday. And I'd done something, I forgot what I did, but my thing for my birthday was that we were supposed to go and see, monster trucks. And I was all hyped on this. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to go see like fucking trucks driving on top of each other. Like, hell yeah, that's a great time. I got in shit. And so my punishment was that they took like my brother and all my friends to go see the monster trucks, but not me. So I had to like stay behind. Yeah.
On your birthday?
Yeah. So it was my birthday, God. But they took everybody else to go see this monster truck. I was sitting in my room just seething with anger.
That's traumatizing.
I remember like for like days afterwards, I was like so pissed that I didn't go to see the monster trucks. The worst part too was like all my friends were talking about like, oh, they can't build them. That was so much fun, you know. The gravedigger or whatever like crushed it, and I was like, fuck. And then my mom was like, well, you don't have to pout about that. And I was like, I think I still bring this up to her every so often, but I did say, what'd you bring freaking Elf to? Because I was baking to Elf at the time. I don't know why. It was just... So, yeah. And then I got grounded for like another month because of that, but totally worth it. That was like my Spartacus moment, so. What about you, Lee? What was the worst thing you did as a teenager?
I didn't really do much. I just didn't do homework and lied to my parents a lot.
Ooh, there you go. Were they like the kind of parents that would ask you, like, Lee, did you do your homework? And you're just like, yeah.
No, my parents were kind of insane.
Great.
Like, they would, I got in trouble a lot for stuff like it was perceived that I did.
Mm.
So like that's why I don't really talk to my parents too much anymore.
There you go.
Keeping it real here. Actually one of the worst things, or not really worst, but like one of the funnier things I always remember is it was after I had graduated, or like right after I graduated high school. I was still living at home, and I would stay up like super late just playing like video games or whatever. And my parents got really mad that I was doing that. I don't think I was keeping them awake, but so they got like mad and they took my TV. So I was had just started a job, and so I was like, you know what, go ahead, take it. I'm gonna buy a new one, a better one.
There you go.
Yeah, and then I still stayed up and played it late.
That's great, because you're just like, no. Yeah. I'm still doing this.
They're like, yeah, we don't want you to stay up late. I'm like, I don't think I will.
Gotta play Counter Strike. Can't take me, Dialer.
Actually, I was playing like Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh my gosh. I felt like nothing's changed. Like, you still play the Old Republic, but you play the MMO now.
I do.
You've upgraded. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. What about you, Ethan?
What was the worst thing I did? I remember I failed a few classes, like, in high school. Just typical math stuff. Never really good at the stuff. So, I guess as punishment for that, I had to like do some summer school and like just give up my whole summer. And as a kid, that's like so precious.
Oh yeah,
because you know, like I would get to. Well, I wouldn't run around, so I wouldn't do kid things like climb trees or anything. So I guess it wasn't really that precious, but it was still time that I lost. But no, I was a good kid.
Aww.
I did set like one fire in my in like my
did you play with all like, the smoker like too alley.
No in like my alley with like a neighborhood kid, and my grandma came out like just started yelling at me. For some reason I was wearing like sunglasses. I thought like I would protect my eyes from the fire. I don't know, I was a good kid. I was just dumb. I don't think anything's changed, really.
Oh, man.
That's it for me.
All right. What about you, Nicole? What was the worst thing you did?
There's a few.
Where do we start?
No, I was a really nice girl for sure, but Kurt, you and I were born in that like jackass era.
Yeah.
So like all those little stupid stunts and stuff like that, there was that sort of thing. I guess the worst thing was getting arrested on the side of a highway for public intoxication.
Ooh, there you go.
Jesus.
Wait, yeah,
as
but...
a teenager?
And it was probably like some really bad booze too. Like it was probably like that cinnamon whiskey or something like that, or you know,
like sourpuss.
Yeah.
Yeah, the red one.
Wait, I got some wine coolers, guys.
Don't tell my mom, but I'm drunk.
Oh no, my mom had to come get me.
Oh, lovely.
Okay, so there's a reason. Like, I was at a house party like 20 minutes outside of town, and my friends were leaving to go to a bush party, and they were drunk, and I didn't want to get in a car with them. So I was like teenager buzzed, whatever. I was like 16 or 17 in high school. So I started walking along the side of the highway, but because I was a teenager, I was like super heat and couldn't be like low key. So the cop had some other person pulled over, and I was like the only person walking on the side of a not lit highway. So I tried to be casual and like started whistling like a freaking Looney Tune while I was walking past him. Like, thought that was a really casual way to walk. And then he, you know, waved me over and asked me what I was doing. And I lied to him and said that I was training for the Terry Fox run.
What?
I love how, like, the non-Canadian listeners will not get that reference.
Please elaborate. I have no idea what this means.
Terry Fox was a disabled person who ran across Canada.
How did he do that if he was disabled?
He was missing a leg. He had a new leg because he had cancer of the leg.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he hopped or something.
He kind of did.
Kind of did.
Yeah. Like, he pretty much was hopping along.
Yeah, so when you're in high school in Canada, everyone participates in the Terry Fox run.
And oh, okay.
Yeah, so I told him that's what I was doing, and he didn't believe me, so I actually started to, like, run hop like Terry Fox, and he's like, that's not how that happened. Like, that's not how that goes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I got put in the back, and my mom had to come get me, and he just, like, was not feeling me at all. I was asking him to, like, roll down the windows, and he's like, that's not how this works. I asked him if he had gum. He told me to shut up.
Put on Evanescence, please. This is not that kind of ride.
Ooh. Yeah, I basically treated him like a cab driver, which got me in more trouble.
I don't know why, but yeah. Like, when I was younger, like, I was living in Abbotsford, which is like kind of like a farming town. And we had like really nice cabs because there was a couple times I was like, I'm not going to drink. I'm going to take my bike with me, which was almost just as bad because every time I'd get on the bike, I'd fall over and I made no progress. There's a couple times the cops were like, just put your bike in the back. We'll drive you home. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, this guy had like notoriety in this small town for being a dick cop to teenagers. His name's Officer Schmidt.
Oh, for sure.
And Schmidt. He was...
named him.
Yeah, Schmidt, I just named you. You
fucking put on...
Damn.
All out.
Also, too, I do remember there was a kid that was bugging me one day in school, and I had enough, so I stuffed his head between the rails of a staircase.
You were a bully.
Yeah. Okay, no. This dude... Ouch. This dude had essentially... What he had done is he was just harassing me the whole time, and then finally I had enough, so I just stuffed his head between the guardrails, and eventually I came back and I saw him like having to like take the bars out and take his head out. And then I went home and like the principal had called and left a message on my parents' machine, and I just deleted the voicemail. Oh my God. So I pretty much got away with the perfect crime. So
yeah. I thought I was doing something good for humanity. Like, well, my brother and I, he's 2 years behind me in high school, and we were in a fight. We weren't talking for like a month. But I saw this kid that was like six foot bullying my brother. So for like a week straight, I bullied this guy back, just like, don't fuck with my team. This is my brother. So yeah. I'd like slap his poutine out of his hands or like shove him into a locker. Not like shove him into one, like into Grassy, but like just push him.
Oh, yeah.
And then my brother finally like broke the silence and came up to me and said, hey, sis, like, thank you so much. I see what you're trying to do, but that guy's in like a life skills class. So if you could ease up. I think he had, he was like on the spectrum, and I feel so bad about it.
Hey, that's not an excuse for being a dick.
That's what I said. That guy doesn't know his own strength. He's got that, like...
R word strength.
Never mind. I can't say that.
Okay, well, I think this is a good time to wrap up Three and Green Hurts.
Now that we've been canceled.
Yeah, now that we're just done, we're not doing this anymore. No, we will next week. Don't email me saying, you guys canceled. No, we don't cancel ourselves. Plugs, movie commentary. We're literally about to do one for Clueless. And then the next month's Friday the 13th Part 3, which will be interesting because that movie's kind of terrible. Social media, check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagrams, all that fun stuff. And then also check out the other podcasts on the Three Angry Nerds Network. You got Three Angry Gamers, Tremble, the horror movie podcast, Nerds in Love, and SpoilerCast. We actually have a SpoilerCast up for Sonic the Hedgehog, so if people want, go get that movie spoiled for you, I guess. Go listen to that.
What do you spoil? He collects rings.
Oh, you'd be surprised. There's like a ton of stuff that you can spoil about that movie. Yeah. Also, Lucas gave me an education on everything in the Sonic lore, including like videos and everything. So, yeah. It's very detailed. Probably more detailed than any human needs. But until next time, everyone. Bye for now.